are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Rob alongside Tori and Miles. Today, we're actually going to get into scams in the industry. Miles, give us a recap of the week.
Maybe a couple additional things. No, just all scams.
Yeah. Well, we could spend weeks on this subject.
We really
unfortunately.
Could.
We could. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, all of us have spent weeks on this subject throughout the years. But before we do that, unfortunately, there hasn't been too much action in the precious metals markets. Most of them are a bit actioned out at this point. So taking a quick glance at gold here over the past week, we're down about 1% in gold. So pretty much the same up or down 1% or 2% for the last couple months, down to $3,315 and still sitting within its pretty large and healthy trading range. Silver is dead even at $36.36. Although this past week, we did get pretty close to the top end of this beautiful sideways channel that silver is now starting to build. Platinum, actually the biggest move here is in platinum, not surprised, but the other direction from what we'd been talking, platinum down about 2.3% over the past week. Currently sitting at $1,369, that's $1,369, and it's building this really tight little compressing pennant pattern. So we'll have to see if platinum decides to go the way of gold and silver and build a sideways channel for the next couple of months, or if we're going to get a reversal in platinum. Palladium, platinum sister metal, also down only about 0.5%. It's at 1,136. The S&P did jump up another 0.25% to 6,264. And the dollar is also up this week about 0.75% to 97.55. So not a ton of movement, but everything inching around, finding a little elbow room as they all settle in.
Two quick points that I have noticed from those numbers. One, the dollar up about 0.75%. Look at how that corresponds in that inverse relationship to gold being down 1%.
Yeah.
Right.
So the overlay makes an X. And then the other is platinum, Miles. You said last week you really felt like platinum was due for a pause. We've gotten a pause and a little bit of a pullback.
Well, platinum's move this year, I don't even want to call it parabolic. It just, one day it was here and the next day it was up there. It just climbed a ladder in a very short period of time. Platinum, what, 45%+ move this year? And what's crazy about that is you look at something like, say, the long-term moving average on platinum, the 200-day moving average is just broke above 1,000 this past week. The price of platinum is now 42% above its long-term moving average. That's an incredible amount of movement up. Now, the good news is that moving average is going to play catch up pretty quickly because platinum sat at that $1,000 range for hundreds and hundreds of days. Each of those days that fall off the end of the moving average, we're adding now a significantly higher, and that's going to drag the moving average up pretty quickly. So if we don't see a significant pullback in platinum here in the near future, which looking at what gold did, looking at what silver has now started to do, I don't see a $200 or $300 drop in platinum coming. I think there's a good chance it just takes a little bit of a break, reloads for the next round.
All right, what about gold and silver?
Yeah, I think there's something interesting in gold because one thing in the metals market, we've seen this compressing trading range, a pennant pattern, the idea where the highs are getting lower and the lows are getting higher, and the trading range is compressing down to a shorter and shorter period. And there's always been an assumption when people are looking at like channel trading that breakouts tend to hint towards continuation in the direction you break out. And you generally will get a breakout somewhere between 75-80% of the way through that pennant before you get to the tip of the pennant. So I went back through gold, and where it differs a little bit is there's a good number of situations where gold has actually continued its sideways trading pattern beyond the pennant. We didn't get a breakout at that point. In fact, it just continued trading within that same range for an extended period of time. It did it back after the 2020 high, even back in the 2011 high, before it finally made a decision. So I would expect, honestly, to see gold sit here a little bit longer than people think it might. And it certainly doesn't have to make a decline back down. We could just see that 200-day moving average come up to meet it. Keep an eye on gold. We're all hoping for $3,000 gold. I mean, who wouldn't like to come back into the market a couple hundred bucks cheaper than here? But realistically, I'm just going to keep buying in every couple of weeks, like with our vaulted program.
So how does that correspond with the dollar? You had an interesting chart on the dollar A formation we were talking about. And there you have the dollar potentially breaking below that. Talk about higher highs and higher lows. That's been the case in this channel as far as what we're getting ready to see. If a supposed breakdown does occur, that will be a failure of this channel.
But I'm going to take the other side of that argument. It's a pretty long-term channel that the dollar is in. We could actually see the dollar recover.
Yeah, I'm actually in your camp on that one. You can see the dollar over the last 12, 15 years has been in a pretty clear growth cycle since what, like 2011, 2012, where it bottomed out. The dollar's given up all the gains since interest rates started rising. But it's given up all those gains back to the bottom end of a 10, 12 year growth cycle. Now, you look at the dollar over the last 30 or 40 years, and it's clearly on a downtrend on the super cycle level of how this particular asset is moving. There's a lot of argument in here that the dollar could be looking at a reversal divergence against RSI. We had a significant decline. We've got lower lows and the indicators are running out of bearish steam. The bulls may be looking for an opportunity to come back into the dollar. I wouldn't be surprised just looking at some other indicators like Fibonacci's. We could see the dollar bounce at least as high as 103. And you know what, Rob, if we go all the way back up to the channel, that might be the dollar up at 120 at some point in the next 2 to 3 years.
Not if the president has anything to say about it. He screams from the podium for a weaker dollar. And I understand the economic stimulus. It's an employment and an export advantage that comes with a weaker dollar, especially if you start cutting interest rates and the Federal Reserve does happen to do that.
If he can get them to.
Well, they're going to do it whether he wants them to or not, and they won't do it whether he wants them to or not.
But the problem is when you make America great, everybody wants in. And so you're driving a lot of foreign capital back into the safest country in the world. His own policies could be working against what he's trying to accomplish.
The M2 money supply, the more dollars there are in circulation, that can weaken. So it depends on if there's printing going on or if there's a tightening. Speaking of his policies, there's a lot of tariff talk again, and Dr. Copper was reacting to some of that talk. And
well, I mean, when he said yesterday, we're going to increase a copper tariff to 50%, copper just shot to the moon, over $5.80. It's back down to around $5.50, but a lot of people are looking at that as a signal that silver's getting ready to launch as well. I think he may be positioning, like he has with his tariff talks so far, on a leverage standpoint, because we're importing, what is it, 100 million tons of copper a year?
At least 700,000 on average, 700,000 metric tons, just to meet the shortfall of what we produce domestically. So if he's successful in stimulating the economy and you get an industrial resurgence, then we're going to need it. And if that is true, too, I agree with you. If this isn't a short-term little blip that's an emotional reaction and copper really starts to go on a run, that will be a precursor for silver and potentially maybe even platinum and palladium.
But if we're importing that much copper primarily from Latin American countries and Canada, most of it comes from Chile and Peru.
The Congo. China's, I think, number 4 or number 5 on the producer list. This is a tariff on good trade partners, not on BRICS.
Right. And we're shooting ourselves in the foot. If we need the copper, why are we raising the price against ourselves? I think it could be a short-term blip. I like to watch copper. I also like to watch velocity. I like to watch the Fed's balance sheet. The Fed's balance sheet has shrunk trillions of dollars in the last few years. Velocity is really not doing anything so far. So I'm going to be cautiously optimistic. I'm hoping for a run in silver. I'm not sure that this is what is going to ignite it.
There has been an ignition, obviously, in the white metals, and that's changed the ratio. So a lot of what we do when we're managing portfolios is we're looking at relative value of gold versus silver and platinum versus palladium and gold versus platinum and platinum rising for a fifth straight week and seeing a new record weekly close. I mean, it's still going in a sense, even though it's down week over week with our recording. And the 40% increase this year, platinum's still the best opportunity in the metals ratios. It's hard to say, oh, sell your platinum here because it's up 40%. For some people, that may work really, really well. For those of you that are waiting for a ratio trade, not a whole lot has happened.
Correct.
Well, I know at least all three of us made a lot of phone calls here a couple months ago to clients when we saw that gold-silver ratio pop over 100 again, because it was only the third time in history we'd ever seen something like that. So we're looking at a very similar move back in 2020 when we had the post-COVID explosion in gold. Ratio ran all the way up to 120-1. Then we had a pretty significant fall off where it paused for a brief moment. Then we had a second significant fall off all the way down to around 60-1, so 120-1 down to 60-1. When you look at what's happened in the gold-silver ratio here over the last couple of months since we hit that 105 level, we've had an almost identical pattern, but just in a more compressed range because we didn't go quite as high as we did following the COVID spike.
Yeah, but that COVID spike at 120-1, because the premiums were so high on all the different products, especially trying to go from gold to silver, you're really only looking at a ratio in the 90s because
right.
premiums were ridiculously high.
Great point. Yes.
Yeah, 120-1.
Was
during
on paper.
COVID, on paper, yeah. You actually had a worse conversion opportunity than we did a couple months ago when it was 105-1 because
exactly
the
right.
premiums were not overextended. If we see the same kind of pattern play out like it has been, very similar looking chart pattern just starting, you would expect to see something happen in either the gold or silver or both markets that over the next, say, 3 to 6 months, we could see that ratio push back down to maybe the low to mid 60s again. And anybody who got to do a little swapping around of product at 105 is going to get a pretty quick turnaround back into gold down in the 60s and just really capitalize on a short term but really nice ounce gain there.
All right. Unfortunately, we're going to turn it to a topic that we hate talking about, but we have found completely necessary to discuss, and that is scams in the industry. And I want to just arm the listener with a few basic terms. You guys just both mentioned premium. That's a key term. And what premium means is it's the price you pay over the spot price represented in a percentage. So if you know what you're paying per ounce, you divide that by the spot price at the time, that percentage difference is the premium over spot. Back after COVID, silver had these huge premium spikes. Silver Eagles in the following years got as high as 60% over spot, legitimately so because of a secondary market. All that being said, that's the premium. And for those of you that are listening to the radio, you can find this show on YouTube as Golden Rule Radio, and you can come back and listen to these so that you know, because the first place you want to start is spot price. Now, there's some variability in spot price.
But not very great.
Not significant. I mean, it's London versus New York. So
versus futures versus current spot.
Yeah, but it's pennies, not percentages.
Yeah, might be a few dollars. That's right. So have your spot price. Okay, that's what the paper market is represented by. It's an indication of movement. Nothing that you can buy something for because it doesn't represent anything fabricated. The spot price is the baseline. And then the ask price or the offer price is what you're going to pay for something. And then finally, there's spread, and that's where people get the most confusion. The spread is the difference between what you could buy it for and sell it for at the same moment.
But we've already seen when you talk to these scam dealers, they'll say a spread, but it's meaningless.
It's really meaningless because they'll even lock you in on a recorded line and a signed contract to a certain spread, but they'll admit later that the premium dropped in that product and it wasn't them widening their spread. It was the premium changing in the market. Right. So you've got to be careful with that.
Oh, it's just terrible, Tori. And I've spoken to a number of different clients about this, but one that stands out in my mind, she invested $714,000, got the statement online at her trustee, the people that actually oversee the market for her. And she called me with a $417,000 market value.
And it wasn't a dyslexic moment. The 714 turned into 417.
Yeah, and the trustee actually gave her our phone number and said, well, if you want some explanation as to how $714,000 turned into $417,000 overnight, these people will be able to explain it for you. But that's tragic.
Well, it is tragic, and it's not just the large ones. It's going on left and right. See, the problem is we're not a regulated industry. We're out here saying, look, we do advise and educate. We're not a sales firm. We
take
a managerial
approach.
But people
do buy and sell with us.
That's right. People buy and sell with us, but we are going to advise you on what suits you best, whether it's your IRA or not. But this is happening in IRAs, and it could be elder abuse. It's confusion. But Miles, you have a completely different example that may be more representative of the market.
Yeah, because I'd say each of us probably gets two or three or four of these a year company-wide, because a number of different precious metals dealers like us work with a handful of self-directed IRA custodians, trustees, and we have a very long relationship with the custodians, and we're on the top of their approved list. And very often, if somebody calls the custodian first and says, who should I work with, they get directed to us, which has been obviously great for us. The downside is if somebody works with somebody else first and then opens an account at the custodian, we get called in to fix problems. So I had a similar situation. Subtract a couple zeros from Rob, but it's still catastrophic for the client who's having to deal with it. So it's a $40,000 purchase that she made about 2 years ago, almost exclusively into silver, when silver was $24. Silver today is $36, and her account is worth $12,000.
Again, though, Miles, she did not purchase from us. This was from the other dealer.
Who is no longer in business.
Oh, shock.
Yet this particular dealer did go out of business here over the last year, like unfortunately many of them do, right after they take a bunch of money from somebody.
And the thing I want to encourage our listeners, because they've had great experiences with us. I mean, we don't have complaints. We don't have attorneys calling us. We do the right job. We're full disclosure, and people have done very well. And so when our listeners talk to their family members or their friends and say, yeah, I think you should buy some gold and silver, please understand that this industry is not regulated and it is not standardized.
And we want to teach you how to do some of that research and ask the right questions to make sure you end up working with a company like us or a good handful of other quality precious metals dealers
out there.
There
are good firms out there. Most of them are not spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on talk radio to advertise and have the spokespersons specifically mention their name as the greatest of all time when they're not. They're clearly not. And I have turned off so many talk radio shows when I start hearing them advertise for these dealers that we know are fraudulent. And I realize that I don't know if I can trust anything else they say.
Yeah, whose mess we're cleaning up. Those are the nefarious actors, the bad actors that are giving the industry a bad rap. And I got a badge of honor this week by being served a cease and desist letter from another firm. And I ended up speaking with the manager on the phone, and he said, you know, I'll press this further. And I said, don't just serve me a cease and desist letter. Please take me to court, because I've wanted to sit on the witness stand and testify against one of you for a very long time.
Yeah.
And he hung up on me. He didn't like my response. So all that being said, they're bullies. They overtalk you. They confuse you with math. And very intelligent people succumb to the tactics, the aggressive sales tactics that these firms are practicing. And that's what we want to arm you with. My example is in between your two. It's a $73,000 IRA that a client moved money in with another brokerage firm. And doing the math, they charged her 86% over spot for just quarter ounce bullion gold coins that in a typical situation, 10 to 12 would be above average, if not somewhat normal. But anyway, that whole difference goes into the pockets of that firm. And the way that they do this is by confusing you with math. So I can figure out what the premium was at the time because I can break it down into the per ounce price. And that's the first thing the listener needs to know is, what am I paying per ounce?
Well, even better, if you're talking to another dealer, ask for a letter saying, okay, with this money that I would be spending, what is the quantity and the type of product that you're recommending for this dollar amount? you know, how many ounces am I getting? What type of product is it? If you want to share the price per ounce, that's fine. But get something in writing so that if they bait and switch you down the road, you have a document on their letterhead.
So what they like to do is they'll show you an industry standard like 1 ounce Gold American Eagle. It's the low cost leader on the trade, and it might be 5 to 10% of your trade. With the other 90% of the trade, they're going to put you in off ounce products. So that's another big red flag. When they tell you that it is semi-numismatic, there's another term. Rob, will you please explain what semi-numismatic really is?
Semi-numismatic refers to 100-year-old coins, which are not allowed in IRAs. Now, there is one product in the industry over the last 40 years that has had premiums.
A track record of
premiums. And typically, that's the Proof American Gold Eagle, and even once in a while, Silver Eagles. Proof or regular Silver Eagles. That's about it.
But it's not because the Royal Canadian Mint or the Australian Mint is doing a limited release of
right.
this minted
exactly.
coins, because it's just on to the next. So they'll say, okay, these quarter ounce Australian coins, quarter ounce Canadian coins on the gold side.
1.5 ounce.
On the silver side.
Yeah.
1.5 ounce, 1.25 ounce silver products are very confusing for people because they don't understand the per ounce price. So you figure it out per ounce, you divide that by the spot price, and now you have the premium. And anything north of 10 to 12% should really have the alarms going off.
But even if they tell you what the premiums are, how can you trust them? Because they lie.
Well, because they're going to show you what the trade is.
Oh,
at
after
that point,
the fact.
They've locked
the fact.
It in. Right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But what I'm saying is anything that's not U.S. Mint product, for the most part, is a big red flag.
Yeah, you probably ought to stay with U.S. Mint products. You know, we get a lot of this garbage back into us when people are liquidating, and we'll sell them for less than Eagle and bar prices.
Yeah, because there's no market.
There is no premium.
They're fabricating the term semi-numismatic. They'll say that it is a higher performing metal or that some are lower performing. No, the reason that we're saying if you want to be safe,
stick with U.S. Mint products.
Because the U.S. Mint isn't turning out these little tokens of short-term release.
Right.
So that's not their expertise. And if you stay with the American product, you can avoid it. But we also put a lot of Canadian coins and generic bars and rounds into retirement accounts that are COMEX deliverable.
But we'll right? break down the per ounce price and let you compare with what other options you have.
That's exactly right.
Well, and 9% over the melt content is a lot better price than 89% over the melt content.
That's right. Because what happens to the IRA is that the IRA trustee is going to value your account at ounces times spot. So yeah. Typically, it's just however many ounces you end up with. Well, if you pay 86% over spot instead of 10% over spot or whatever it is, look at how many fewer ounces you have and why, Rob, your story is representative of what I'm hearing far more frequently than it certainly ever used to be the case. So what are some other red flags, you guys?
I would say celebrity spokespeople. These people are getting paid.
Oh, some seven figures.
Yes.
A quarter. I mean, that's sort of like their free giveaways. They're
going
to
offer you. Well, that's another one, the free giveaway.
Yeah, free silver, free IRA fees.
Yeah, qualifying accounts can get $15,000 worth of free silver, which is really only worth $5,000 because they inflated the actual price.
Which means they took $20,000 of your money and they're happy to part with 25% of it by free giveaway. And there should be no free giveaways. If you're working on tight margins, the numbers transparently are what the numbers are. How about claims of exclusive access? They're going to say, well, we have exclusive access to sell this product.
It's meaningless.
It's meaningless because it's not going to have a premium 6 months later. The secondary market couldn't care less. They'll say that they're not an advisor. They don't want to be having any false claim of being an advisor.
I do.
Well, we want to be known as advisors.
I'm fine with
yeah.
that.
That's right.
I think across the board, what I'm hearing here is this can get complicated. Now, we've got plenty of metals clients who know as much or more than we do about some of these different products. And there's no reason anybody who really gets the gold bug can't start learning more about the benefits of a Johnson Matthey bar versus a Silvertown Pony Express. There's all sorts of little knick-knacky stuff. But if you learn nothing else, keep your total cost per ounce within a reasonable 8, 10, 12% above spot price and stick with U.S. mint manufactured stuff. Now, that's going to keep you out of trouble. That isn't the best approach. And there's certainly things you can do to tailor it and make it a little bit better. And that's why you want to work with an advisor, not just a salesperson. You want to work with somebody who understands the intricacies of the market and whose goal is to prioritize the most ounces possible for the cheapest price possible, not the best sales pitch for the highest cost possible. But if you stick with low premium, close to spot price stuff, and you stick with U.S. mint produced product, you cannot go wrong. You could do it a little bit better, but you also risk doing it worse. So just keep it simple. That's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website at mcalvaney.com. That's mcalvaney.com. And as always, if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with a precious metals advisor, please give one of us a call here. We can be reached at 1-800-525-9556.